You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. Later on in the programme, we're discussing that controversial penalty in Barcelona's victory over Valencia. But we'll kick things off with the Premier League. Arsenal in action on Monday against Crystal Palace, and it will be a good start for Arteta's side. 8 minutes on the clock, and it's Aubameyang who would make it 1-0.
Yeah, it's a good strike from Pepe. It's a good save as well. Keeper palming it away, but Aubameyang on his toes. Reads it, and what a beautiful finish. I mean, he's not got a lot to shoot out there. Calmly side foots at home with his left foot.
Now, what did you make of this incident here? 2 minutes before the break, Stevie, clearly MacArthur kicks Saka. It's only a yellow. Arteta said it should have been red.
I don't think so. I think MacArthur's got his eye on the ball the whole way. Look at him. He doesn't even... And then by the time he realises it, look, he's not once looked at
Saka. Yeah, but you can't do that, can you, Stevie?
We'll discuss it later.
5 minutes into the second half. Benteke.
How bad is Gabriel here?
Oh.
I mean, the last thing you do is get square on. Look, Gabriel gets square on so Benteke can go to the right because that's the only place he wants to go. But then from there, it's a good finish.
17 minutes to go in the game and it's Crystal Palace on the counter-attack and they would take the lead. Edouard making it 2-1.
Yeah, it's Edouard. He's one-on-one with White. White doesn't get close enough. If he gets close, he could probably get a block on this, but he doesn't. He backs off, and Edouard with a strong shot. Ramsdale's never going to get that.
Vieira celebrating against his old side. 3 minutes to go. Tierney with the opportunity to get the equaliser off the crossbar.
Wow. I mean, just raw power. Unfortunately, as you said, it comes off the crossbar.
However, late on, Lacazette with the equaliser to make it 2-2. What a scrappy goal.
Well, Lacazette did more than, 15, 20 minutes he was on than maybe the whole rest of the Arsenal side, in my opinion. He deserved this goal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think Arsenal deserved it, to be honest.
So it finishes then, Arsenal 2, Crystal Palace 2. More on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Craig Burley is with us, as is Stuart Robson. Boys, let's start off, shall we, with the incident we were just discussing in the highlights. Stevie said that it was a yellow card. Do you agree MacArthur was fine? A yellow is the right decision, Craig?
I actually disagree with Stevie here. I thought it was a red card. I mean, it was so blatantly violent and the ball wasn't even close. I mean, he was going to miss time it by miles. I think in the replay, this angle's sort of inconclusive, I think, for the viewer, but not for the referee who was there. But the slow-mo, the next one just here, I mean, watch. I think that's just violent, and I thought it should have been a red card. Look, he's basically just kicked him.
Yeah, Robbo?
I'm going to go along with Stevie. I think he had eyes on the ball. I think he was going to volley it. Saka just unfortunately got in the way of him. But he was lucky because he'd committed a foul earlier on in the game where he should have been booked. So that would have been a sending off anyway. But, on first viewing, I wouldn't have sent him off for that one.
What about second viewing?
Again, I wouldn't send him off. No, I think he had eyes on the ball. He was trying to volley it. And Saka just came back and got in a position where He got in the way, but I wouldn't have sent him off for it.
I thought you'd all just say it's a red card. I'm surprised.
I'm not quite sure.
Because of MacArthur.
I'm not quite sure what he's trying to volley here. Have a look.
Well, he's actually stopped as well.
I mean, he's nowhere near the... He's not even going to volley the ball if Saka doesn't get there. Holy smokes. All right,
you know what? If his eyes hadn't been on the ball the whole way, I would have said a red. But the fact that his eyes are on the ball, that's why I'm saying it's a yellow.
Wow. There you are then.
Are you surprised, Daniel?
I am. I thought everyone would just say red card because it kicks him.
Well, the majority said yellow.
Well, that's true. The majority. There you are. Who am I to argue? Yeah.
What do you know?
Exactly.
Well, it's 50-50.
Well, yes, I don't think my opinion counts. Craig?
Oh, well, OK.
Correct.
Overall, 2-2, how do you take this if you're an Arsenal fan?
Oh, if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm relatively pleased with the turnaround from the start of the season, but a little frustrated about that performance. You know, with all the players back in, they have looked better. Gabriel and White and Partey, Tomiyasu in the side in the last few weeks, and Arsenal started to look a little bit more solid. But I tell you what, fair play to Palace, though. They were the dominant team in this game, particularly as it wore on. And yeah, I just think it still shows that you know, Arsenal are going to have to work and slog just to get anywhere near those European places this season. But I tell you, I saw Crystal Palace at the start of the season, Dan. I was seriously worried about them. But fair play to Patrick Vieira. His side have some energy. They can pass it. And they caused this Arsenal side quite a few problems.
Former Gunner of the Year, Stuart Robson, what's the main problem with Arsenal?
Well, today they were too easy to play against. When Crystal Palace started passing the ball and they started to play into midfield, they could get the ball from back to front with ease. Benteke was able to hold it up. The midfield players were able to get space in behind Arsenal's midfield. There was a lot of energy, a lot of running around from Arsenal, but there was a lack of, I was understanding about how you close people down. They were going on the wrong angle, so they played around too easily. Then when they dropped off, and Stevie said it in those highlights, the two centre-halves, when they had to go and close the ball down, didn't close the ball down. So they've still got problems defensively. You know, they brought in Gabriel, they brought in Ben White, two OK players, but they're not going to be top-class players at the moment, and they're not good enough defenders. And Arsenal, to be a top side, you have to be hard to play against. They were hard to play against when they played Tottenham because they got after the ball, they closed it down, they won it back quickly. Today, they didn't do that.
Let's just take a moment, shall we, to adjust our corneas and the brightness of Robbo's head and take a look at the Premier League standings, shall we? After that 2-2 draw between Arsenal and Palace, as it stands, of course, still no place for Arsenal in the top 10. Chelsea sit there after that victory at the weekend, hard fought against Brentford, Liverpool second, Manchester City third, Brighton fourth. You have to go down to sixth, which is where Manchester United have fallen after that defeat against Leicester City. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot over the last couple of days. I think we didn't really focus on too much was those post-match comments from the United players. It's what Pogba said. We've been having these kind of games for a long time and haven't found the problem. We've conceded easy and stupid goals. We deserve to lose. We need to change something. Well, this was telling. We need to find the mentality and tactics to win. Meanwhile, Bruno Fernandes coming out and saying we cannot do this anymore. We did it so many times. We cannot slow the game down when we're winning. We have to make it quicker. Score once again. Get one or two more goals. And after that, maybe you can slow it down. Mark Ogden writing over on ESPN AFC, Craig, made the point that, can you imagine Liverpool or indeed Manchester City players or old Manchester United players coming out and saying those sort of things about their manager's tactics?
Ferguson, these players would have been dragged, the whole squad would have been dragged in the dark of midnight, right? And they would have been told in no uncertain terms, right, we are having a hard time at the moment, bunker down and keep your mouth shut and let's do our talking on the field. This is the last thing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer needs. As you know, I'm not his biggest fan anyway, but he certainly doesn't need his top players coming out and talking about tactics and talking about this and talking about that. What he needs, apart from performance, is the players to get in the dressing room, get on the training ground and work bloody hard to try and sort it out, because he's in the mire and this is only making it worse.
Robbo, Pogba saying we need to find the mentality and tactics to win.
Well, the only thing the players can do is talk honestly, but they've got to talk honestly about themselves. You know, you can't start having a... because they're having a little dig at the manager about the tactics. You know, did they play as well as they could have done? Well, Pogba gave the ball away cheaply on too many occasions. His recovery runs weren't quite good enough. I think he's a fantastic player, but he's not consistent enough at the moment. The defenders didn't defend well enough. Yes, I think that Solskjaer's got problems with his tactics. When things start to go wrong, he can't find a remedy for it. And they're too inconsistent with the way they play. They started off the season, the crowd behind them, because Ronaldo's there, there was a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of pace and power. And suddenly, when things start to go wrong, he's not sure how to solve it. Manchester United are a good side. They're not a great side at the moment, and they're going to be inconsistent. But the players shouldn't be talking like that about the manager.
The thing with Solskjaer is, I think everyone agrees he's a nice guy. Obviously, he's come in, he's steadied the ship. But can you imagine him confronting Pogba or Fernandes about this? Well, should he be in a position where he should?
I would assume he'll talk to him. But as Craig started off by saying, Fergie would have drug him in at midnight.
Right.
He wouldn't be talking to them. He would be telling them.
But people would say, oh, that's a different time.
Well, it's horses for courses. So when things are going badly, something has to be done.
Right.
And if you're telling me that the only thing you can do is be really nice and talk to somebody and encourage them, then good luck trying to win the Premier League or any other silverware. Why do you think Ollie's probably not won any silverware? Mm-hmm. Because the players, at the end of the day, know that they can get away with stuff with him. That's what it seems like. And I can assure you, experienced players on the field, when the game's going on, grab the team by the scruff of the neck. And I'm talking Pogba. Pogba's no kid anymore.
Sure.
Pogba's an experienced international guy. He's one of the guys who should be sorting out on the field. And he's talking about mentality. You don't know what you're getting for Pogba in a Man United strip from one game to the next.
Yeah.
You've got Fernandes as well saying, oh, we don't do this and don't do that. Well, guess what? You're not another one of the experienced guys. You're supposed to sort this out. You've got Harry Maguire. An experienced international guy. He's been around for a fair bit now. So none of your experienced guys are going to help everybody around them. You're talking about the perfect spot for the three of them, right down the pipe. So when you go ahead, you get everybody in tight and you say, right, nobody's getting through.
Okay.
They don't do that. But it's all his fault. No, it's all his fault because they don't do that.
Mm.
But on the field of play, you can't turn around and say it's not my fault, it's the manager's fault, because that's what they're doing.
But he's a nice guy and the players like him. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of statement that is, by the way. But, you know, the other side of the coin is to go back to what Stevie said. Bruno Fernandes, after a really bright start, and it was, has spent most of the time now complaining when anybody tackles him. Mm. Paul Pogba, in nearly two and a half years of Premier League football, has got 4 goals. Now, there'll be people tweet into this show and rabble on about stats and assists and all that. I don't want to hear it. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But these are supremely talented players. But listen, what happens is when results go badly, and I'm not against people giving press conferences and that, because that's part of the job that we're in and we all had to do it. But I think there are certain times, particularly at difficult times, when you have to be cute about who you put in front of the media. And you really have to limit that because, you know, it is the siege mentality. And you don't want these stories getting out. And any little thing is going to become a massive story. And so I think it's important that Solskjaer, by the way, and I don't think it's his biggest problem, as you know, but it is a problem. And I think it's important he addresses that. But to go back to the other point, Dan, about a different era, Ferguson only retired in 2013. I mean, it's not that long ago. And he also managed Ronaldo and managed them pretty well. So he knew how to deal with these modern superstars. It's not easy, but he did it as well, if not better than most. And Solskjaer is just another hurdle for him to try and get over at the moment. But as I said, it's certainly, particularly with the games coming up, not his biggest one.
Robbo, what's been reiterated quite a lot on this show is when you look at Manchester United, there doesn't seem to be a plan in place. It just looks like 11 individuals and there's no sense of team. Mm. How do you fix that? How do you address that on the training ground?
Well, you've got to work harder on the team shape. You've got to make sure patterns of play. You've got to get players working with each other. You've got to do the hard work on the defensive side of the game. How are you going to close down? When are you going to close down? Are you going to drop off? And I don't see that as being worked enough. I know you don't have a lot of time in between games when you're playing in the Champions League, but that should have been done in pre-season. That should be done every time you get a chance. So you've got some understanding of what you're trying to do. Yes, you can have 11 good players. You can have a top-class goalkeeper. But you need to make sure that you're all playing the same philosophy. You're all trying to do the same things. You know where the next pass is going to go. The best teams always have that. Yes, they have good players, but they know what their jobs are and they know exactly what they're trying to get out of the game.
You know, Dan, I like to think I was a nice guy. I think all the players that played for me liked me.
Right.
I was a nice guy. But the one thing they knew...
It'd be great if you just finished the sentence right. then.
But the one thing they knew, nice guy or not, if I said do that and you didn't do it,
right,
you wouldn't get through the door before I was on you.
Okay.
To tell you, that ain't happening here.
Right.
That is not happening at Manchester United under Rolly.
I think the main concern, Stevie, is and Robbo, is that out of the four teams with the money spent that we thought were going to be fighting for the championship, and we know one or two are ahead of the others, is that the other three, and Chelsea are not playing particularly well at the moment and got away with it at the weekend, but the other three have a clear identity of what their game plan, home and away, is. No matter who's playing in the team, they have an identity of what that club and what that formation and manager is all about. There is still no, you know, thought process or identity into what Man United try and do. They don't always try and press high. They don't always sit back. It's a mishmash of a bit of everything. And I think that's a confusing aspect for the players as well, as good as they are, is that the other three teams have a clear idea when they go out in the field exactly, whether they like it or not, exactly what their manager wants from them.
Robbo, we know you're a big fan of Antonio Conte. Gab on yesterday's show said he wants the job. Do you give it him tonight?
Well, I think Manchester United would be a better team with him in charge. Yes, he might not get on with all the players, but as Stevie said, you don't always have to get on with the players. You just have to make sure they do the job that you're asking them to do. And Antonio Conte, wherever he's been, the first season at Chelsea won the title, 3 years at Juventus, Inter Milan in the second season, he's made them champions. And he's a top-class coach. He'll get the best out of the players, and I think he'll be the right fit for the job.
United, of course, got a big, big run of games ahead, including the Champions League midweek against Atalanta at Old Trafford. This group is close, isn't it, in Group F, remember? It's that last-minute winner against Villarreal gave United all 3 points. Craig, we were chatting about this over the last couple of days, and you were saying that you feel that just Solskjaer will get enough results to keep him afloat. Do you feel that this match against Atalanta could be one of those?
Well, possibly, and I saw somebody else talking about it, how it's just that this team just have a habit of pulling a result or two out. He did it last year just to take the pressure off. Look, Atalanta, I think, are the sixth in Serie A around there. They won big at the weekend against Empoli. They're still scoring goals, but they've been a little bit inconsistent at the start of the season. But they're a huge threat going forward, and we know, obviously, clearly, United lost four at the weekend. Villarreal should have took at least three or four off them. They completely outplayed them. So, honestly, you could throw the balls up with United. I don't know. What I do know is, I mean, I'm not suggesting this is an easy group, but by Champions League standards, when this group was drawn, Solskjaer privately must have been rubbing his hands going, my God, we've missed all the real big guys and the other side of the, you know, PSG and Man City and Bayern Munich and Barcelona, even though Barcelona are not the best. So there is a pressure there to get out this group. While these are good sides, Atalanta, Villarreal, Young Boys, they're not great sides. So there is a pressure, I think, in trying to get out this group without any of the real big guns in it.
Speaking of pressure, Robbo, you've got Atalanta going there and feeling that they can get something.
Well, Atalanta are a strange team because if you remember their performances against Liverpool last season, at home, I think it was 5-0 that they lost when Liverpool counter-attacked brilliantly. Manchester United might just have to sit that little bit deeper and wait for the chance to counter-attack because Atalanta are great going forward. Defensively, they have a strange system. Their back three sometimes man-for-man marks. So if you have good movement, you have good runs and you change your position, you can cause them all sorts of problems. But it's going to be one in that central midfield area. Whoever dominates that, as is often the case, I think will dominate the game and win it.
The boys, of course, will be back later on to answer your tweets on Extra Time. You can always check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Until the biggest match of the Spanish season, Barcelona against Real Madrid, exclusively live on ESPN Plus next Sunday. Coverage starting on Plus at 10 a.m. Eastern. Preceding that, though, we've got the Clasico preview show live from the Camp Nou. That's at 9 on ESPN 2. And to get you in the mood, we've gone through and we're going to bring you some classic Clasicos. All starts off tonight. Barcelona beating Real Madrid by 5-0. Remember that back in 2010. Tomorrow, it's all about that standing ovation for Ronaldinho, who was exceptional at the Santiago Bernabeu. Some classic matches of all Barcelona winning for some reason. I don't know who chose those. Be sure to check it out. Well, Barcelona, of course, go into the Clasico off the back of that victory against Valencia. And just taking a look at some of the newspapers. Marca, Barca wake up before the Clasico. Sport, the Catalonia newspaper, saying comeback. Of course, controversy in that win, the penalty that was given just before the break. Question marks as to whether or not it was a spot kick. Bordalas coming out, the Valencia coach, and saying the penalty decided the game. It was very equal until then, and it was not a penalty. Meanwhile, the Valencia attacker Gea came out and saying everyone agrees that I got to the ball first and touched it. Soler, another representative from Valencia, saying if he goes and he sees it's a penalty, fine, but at least go. He told us that he didn't go to see the penalty because he believed that the first touch was on Ansu Fati, that he didn't need to see it. Ronald Koeman, meanwhile, saying you can have doubts, but the referee blew and VAR didn't intervene, so it is a penalty. Robbo, let's start with you. Pen or no pen?
Well, I was going to give a penalty when I first saw it. I thought it looked like a penalty. When you see the replay, I still can't be sure whether he got a touch on the ball or he got a touch on the player. And he tackles from behind, which is always a dangerous thing to do. Can you be sure that he gets a touch on the ball? The referee made his mind up early. I would have given a penalty on the first viewing and I wouldn't have changed my mind if I had seen VAR. So, penalty for me.
Stephen?
I'm exactly the same decision as Robbo and exactly the same thought process. I don't know whether you can tell whether he gets the ball or not, and so it's a penalty kick. Now, the fact that he didn't go and look is just, it's just arrogance on the referee's part. You know, go and look.
Right.
Just go and look. You know, not having a look is just wrong because VAR... Again, VAR's supposed to only intervene when it's clear and obvious, so they'll stay away. So just go and have a look.
Do you think it's one of those, if it wasn't given, VAR would then overturn it?
No, because it's not clear and obvious.
You think it's a grey area like
it's,
that?
It's a one decision pair. It's the referee's one decision
right.
that he absolutely can only make on his own.
Right. Craig?
Yeah, but I think he's waiting on VAR to instruct him to go and have a look. Which is how I believe the process works in almost every country. So, and unless, you know, they're obviously in his ear once he's made the decision and they've had a look at it, and surely to God somebody said to him, well, go and have a look, or actually, no, it's not worth the time. My analysis is exactly the same as you guys, and that was how it was yesterday. It's pretty inconclusive that he didn't come through the back of Ansu Fati to play the ball, hence the reason that I think the referee gave the penalty. And even if I think he goes to VAR, as Stevie said, he still gives the penalty because it's not clear that he did not come through the back of the player. But yeah, I don't think it's always the referee's decision whether he goes to the monitor or not. And I think that's where some of the grey areas are.
Robbo, you've seen a lot of Barcelona this season, a lot of dire servings from Barcelona. Boy, do they need that spark that Ansu Fati brings.
Absolutely. He came on in a game recently when he first got back into the team and he lit up the stadium. He played really well that day. And when he plays on that left-hand side, he can do everything. He can run past people down the outside and get crosses in. He can come and link up the play. when he comes off the centre forward. He can score great goals, as he's already done. And it was a fantastic goal he scored. What a finish that was, bending it into that far corner. He's got everything. I saw him play for Spain as a youngster, and he was dynamite for them. He's going to be a top-class player, probably a world-class player. And he's just come back into the frame at the right time for Barcelona.
And it just shows his
character. Do you know what? That's a positive, and we talked about it yesterday. But I think the bottom line here is that it's tiny steps for Barcelona, because they got that battering from Bayern Munich at the Camp Nou a few weeks ago. And to be honest with you, I think if they played Bayern Munich again tomorrow, it would be the same outcome. So it's it's not as if they've climbed way up the ladder. They've taken not even half a step, but it's at least something. But boy, they're still a million miles off where they need to be. But I suppose that's one small positive.
Barcelona, of course, looking for their first points in the Champions League. As that returns midweek, Barca trying to get something going after those back-to-back defeats for Ronald Koeman's side. Meanwhile, for Real Madrid, surprisingly, they sit second, don't they, after just a one win, that shock defeat at home against Sheriff. Robbo, like Barca, you've seen a lot of Real Madrid. You have no idea what you're going to get from this side, do you?
You're absolutely right. It's a bit like Manchester United at the moment. We've been talking about them and not having a philosophy, not having a game plan. I thought Ancelotti would come in and at least give them a style of play. Well, when he was at Bayern Munich, a lot of the Bayern players said that he didn't have a style of play. He just let the players go and play. Well, that's what he looks as though he's doing at times for Real Madrid. And he's very fortunate that he's got Benzema, who at the moment is playing absolutely brilliantly. He's leading the line. He's leading the team. And without him, I think Real Madrid are a struggling outfit at the moment.
Yeah, most definitely relying on their talisman. Meanwhile, in Group B, it's been a Liverpool Atleti, Stevie. You excited?
Not really. Because Atletico Madrid always suck the life out of the game.
Yep.
I'm actually confident Liverpool can go and win this game, to be honest with you. If Liverpool can defend halfway of what they're capable of, then they can keep a clean sheet. You know, Atletico this season so far, going forward, have just looked as though they've got no real idea.
Yeah.
And they've kind of got by on little bits of inspiration. So I'm quite confident going in. I know it's going to be dour. Atletico Madrid are just going to sit there and let Liverpool come at them.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you want to let a team as good as Liverpool come at you, then you better be prepared for maybe things might go wrong.
We kind of know what we're going to get here, don't we, Craig?
It's not as dour as our golf cart, the way he's playing golf at the moment, I can tell you that. Mind you, I'm not playing so well myself, but listen, I think one of the problems here is for Liverpool is how the hell are they going to suck? The game's, even at home, how are they going to suck Atletico Madrid out to try and get them on the front foot to then use the counter-attack and play with the pace of Salah and Mane and getting runners from the midfield. I think that's the problem. And if Atleti can mount some attacks, I think Liverpool, if they're cute, can really go at them because, you know, that front line is playing so well at the moment. Mane looks great again. Obviously, Salah is the man in form. But you've just always got to be careful against this Atleti side. But I'm like Stevie, the way Liverpool are playing, I'm pretty confident they go there and are much better and play much better than they did the last time against this Simeone side.
Where do you stand on Simeone's tactics, Robbo?
He gets the best out of his team. I think he can be more adventurous with some of the players he's had at his disposal. You'd like to see him at home be more adventurous. They you know, go at people and they get more players forward and they get their fullbacks into good attacking areas. But against Liverpool in this game, there's no way he's going to come out and play because Liverpool are brilliant on the counter-attack. The problem he's got this time is that I think Liverpool are playing as well as they ever have. And now they can break teams down when they sit deep as well. Watford tried to play five at the back and sit deep and Liverpool just cut them apart. So I think whatever tactics he uses, Liverpool are going to be the dominant side and I think should win it.
We'll be looking back at that game on the next edition of ESPN FC. Be sure to join us then. We're also going to be reflecting on the other big matches in the Champions League. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Also available now, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Their special guest all the way from Norway, Jana Aga Fjortoff, joins them. Oh, that's a lot of pictures in his background. Where is he? It's a bit spooky. Lots of German matches to come for you next weekend. It starts with Mainz against Augsburg. That's on Friday. And then on Saturday, Bielefeld take on Dortmund, and Bayern Munich play host to Hoffenheim. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been watching. Champions League, of course, will be our main priority over the next couple of days. But wait, we haven't finished yet. Extra Time is next. Stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie with me in the studio. Craig Burley joins us, as does the latest James Bond villain, Shua Robson, with us in the top. Where are you, Robbo?
I was just commentating on a game in London, right. And this is the where we've been commentating on it from.
Wow.
The backdrop, I thought, was great.
Yeah,
the lighting's great. You can see the shine on the head
as well.
And it's boiling hot.
Robbo, where's the cat?
Boiling hot.
I know, where is the cat? How hot is it, Robbo?
You don't know what's under here.
Tell me something. Daniel, how many Gab and Jules podcasts is there a week?
Two. One on Monday, one on Thursday. Why? This can't be. This is not an interesting.
Not positive.
No, I don't think it's going to be positive.
I don't think there's a day that I'm ever on this show there's not a promo for a podcast.
Well, there you go. Well, it's spreading the love.
We're called a promo.
Can't we get a petition together to say that's all those two do?
I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm going to move on.
Every day I come on this show, it's the Gab and Jules podcast, and you're a special guest coming on. I'm like, holy smokes.
But the question is...
It's because Craig hasn't been invited on.
The question is...
Jealous.
Does the Gab and Jules podcast...
Yes.
...promo us?
Hey, of course it does.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you are.
There you go.
There you are. It's self-fulfilling, isn't it? It's... I tell you what, if you ever see me on that,
shoot me.
Well, there we go. Well,
I don't think you need to be worried.
Robbo, what's the reaction to your voice being on FIFA? How has it been? Of course, I haven't seen you since it was all launched.
I don't mix on Twitter and all those sorts of things, so I wouldn't know. I've spoken to Derek about it. He seems to think it's gone quite well. I haven't listened to it myself. I will do over the course of the next few weeks because my son has got it and one or two of my other family members, my godson's got it. But I don't like hearing my own voice, so I won't be doing it too often.
Yeah, wow.
Robbo, I think Twitter would be problematic for you because by the looks of it, your arms don't move.
They're stuck.
What do you mean they don't move? I always use my arms.
No, but I thought they were stuck in that kind of...
After our week in Italy, our holiday in Italy last week, you have to do a bit of that, don't you?
Oh, lovely. Robbo, I just searched your name and FIFA on Twitter. Yes. Nice addition to FIFA. Nice, you know, it's good. Although someone did say, Stuart Robson makes me want to cut my ears off.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have said that over the years, but
Let's get away from the abuse. Frank Leboeuf got a lot of abuse as well today, but that's another story. Anyway, who wins the Premier League? He said something about Messi and Zidane, and all the Argentinians got very angry at him.
Who
wins the Premier League first, Craig? Arsenal or Newcastle?
Can I say none? Neither of them.
Who is more likely? Let's go for that, shall we?
Good grief.
He's taking this very seriously. Mm. It's like an audition for the Gavin Jules podcast.
I'm going to say not short term, but long term, I'm going to say Newcastle.
Robbo, would Arteta be doing a better job at United than Ollie?
Probably not. No, I don't think he would be. I don't think he's had the backing of all the players. I think he's upset some of the players, and not in a good way. I don't think he's a great tactician. I think he's changed his formation and his tactics from week to week when they lose. So I don't think he'd be any better than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So he won't be the Man United manager, that's for sure.
Stevie, who do you think would come out on top in a match between the current Liverpool team and the one that you played in, both at their peak?
Ooh. Well, I would tell you right now that if the conditions were how they were in the 80s,
right,
we would beat them hands down. I think it would be a lot closer today. The way the game's played, the way the balls are and everything else, it would be really tight. It'd be a great game.
Yeah, it would be.
It'd be a great game.
Who've you got, Robbo, in that clash?
Well, I only played against the Stevie Nicholls side, and they were a great team. They were so hard to play against. Whenever you got the ball in midfield, you didn't have too long to stand on it. You had to get rid of it pretty quickly, and they were great going forward. So I would say the former team. And remember, they were at the top for many, many years. Virtually won the title, I don't know, 7 out of 10 times. They were a top team, and probably slightly better than this one.
Craig?
Well, I didn't play against these old gits.
No. So. And you didn't play against these young ones either. You're right in the middle.
I'm right in the middle. But I honestly, I don't think people realise just how good that team was of Stevie's era. You know, people talk about Van Dijk. Hansen was a Rolls Royce who just... I mean, I'm just talking about, for example, Van Dijk seen as this talisman. You know, Hansen at the back, unbelievable. All through the spine of the team. Dodgy guy with red hair on the right-hand side. But apart from that, this Liverpool... They're two great sides, but the Liverpool side that I watched in that era, tough, clinical, fast, strong, everything. Absolutely everything.
Craig, how dedicated are you to your golf game in the northeast of the US and the worst conditions you've played in? At what point do you say, I'm done for a bit until the weather changes?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
There's one thing he hates.
Right.
Right. Not the wind. It's not particularly the rain.
Okay.
It's the cold.
Because he has to wear his big mitts, doesn't he?
But even he's got these big mitts, right?
Yeah.
A bear would be proud of them. Seriously. I mean, if a bear saw them, he'd go, wow, where can I get a pair of these? And his hands are still cold.
Right.
That's the only thing that does him in.
Yeah.
Cold.
Cold hands, Craig.
Sorry.
Cold hands.
I have got cold hands, but my circulation to my fingers is not great, so my hands get really cold. However, there was only one man wearing long pants today at the golf amongst the foursome. Who was it?
Oh, you've only seen that, by the way, in the back nine, when you're going, oh, I'm freezing, let's get in. Honestly, he was like that. He was standing going, really, let's get in, I'm freezing.
God, you two are like an old married couple.
It did get really cold, but the answer to your question is we are extremely dedicated to the golf, but I think Stevie and I played, just last year we played just past Thanksgiving, and then we threw the towel in.
For Craig, as a veteran of Scottish football, did you ever play against Brian Laudrup? I was just a kid in his heyday. Would love to hear what he was like to play against.
Yeah, the answer is yes, because Brian Laudrup played in that great Rangers side that the Celtic side I played in eventually stopped. But he was Brian was a great player, but he wasn't quite as good as his brother Michael. But his brother Michael was phenomenal. But Brian is adored by the Rangers fans because, along with Gascoigne and so many others, McCoist and Goff and quite a few foreigners, he was brilliant for Rangers. But we were quite lucky because we had a little Italian guy called Enrico Annone who we signed from Torino. And he was brilliant at man marking. So when we played in the Old Firm, quite often we'd put Enrico on him and he used to do a very good job on him. But he was a fantastic footballer and a really nice guy as well.
Robbo, have you seen the new James Bond film?
What do you mean, isn't it?
Yes, I have seen it.
Perfect. Yep. So which actor do you think is the best James Bond ever?
What a stupid question.
There is only one. There is only one. He's Scottish. He was a bodybuilder before he was an actor. It has to be Sean Connery. By far and away,
his Wikipedia page.
Hey, yeah.
Do you know what his favourite food was?
Oh, no. Go on, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Go on, then. Yes. Wait, go on, then.
Goulash. Yes?
No. God, Stevie, that's the worst thing you've ever done.
I tried my best, honestly.
Listen, is there any chance you can do that again? Because I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody did.
What's his favourite food, Sean Connery? Goulash.
I thought, honestly, not a second time.
All right, I'll practice.
Try a third time, Stevie.
I'll get into the part this time, right? Hold on.
Oh, right. God.
Goulash.
Right, yes, good.
I seriously thought he was going to say tatties and mince.
I thought there was going to be some shepherd's pie link. Sean Connery is everyone's... Have you got any jokes about Sean Connery, Stevie?
Well, I used to have one, but I'll know.
Do you know what his favourite food is?
Final question. Robbo, why do you have such a nice voice? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, who's that from?
What?
Oh, dear.
Robbo went to private school over the years.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah.
Posh school, Robbo.
I went to a posh school, yeah. I came from a rough background, though, but I had to learn how to speak. Went to elocution lessons with the headmaster because he thought I was a bit of a troublesome character, so he took me into elocution lessons, and that lasted about 3 weeks before he dismissed me from it.
So if you had a rough background, how did you get to a posh school? Did you get a scholarship or something?
Because my parents worked so hard. They worked so hard. They had 3 jobs each. And they had to work all through the night just to send me to this posh school. And I was an only child.
That explains a lot.
A little bit of money to send me to a proper school.
Oh, well, fair enough. It's all right for some.
You went to quite a posh school there as well, didn't you?
Been a non.
You did.
It's got a posh name. Non-posh about it.
But they only played rugby. I thought posh schools only played rugby.
Supposedly.
Right.
There was nothing posh about this school.
No?
I can assure you.
Well, I let you in, Stevie. How did you get in? With stand-up routine.
I blended in with a lot of other numpties that got in.
Peter used to think the name of his school was Truant.
Well, yeah. Never mind, Stevie.
Eventually it was.
That is it. Thank you very much. We're done.
Hey! Hey!
What?
Goulash!
Now I get it. Oh, it's very funny. Okay, we will be back tomorrow for more of this. I can't believe you said it again. Be sure to join us.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.